found joy and challenge in that calling? Anyone who wants to go first can jump in.
I'll go first. One of the things that I think is really important for us is to be readers. Leaders are readers. So make sure that we are disciplined enough to be reading our Bibles regularly, soaking in the Word of God, and also reading other great books. So one of the best books I've read is by this guy here. If you haven't seen his book on the table out there, honestly, it is the best book. It's the best book you could read and buy on mission. If you haven't read Andy's book on mission, please do, because it will just do you so much good. And if you're thinking about any kind of leadership as well, which most of us in this room are, then read John's book on foundations for pastors. It's not just for church leaders and pastors, but anybody who's in a position of leadership, you'll find John's book so helpful. So in terms of sharpening myself and for us as leaders, because most of us are, then read books like John's and books like Andy's.
I would particularly recommend Global Humility. Really, really excellent book. And particularly because, the UK is diversifying so much. So whether God sends us away or keeps us here, we need to learn how to be intercultural in our mission within our own neighbourhoods, our own communities, or if actually God plants us somewhere else as well. In terms of actually what I find really important, it's staying close to Jesus and really prioritising your time with him, and then being rooted in community as well, because you're going to need both. If there are times when it's feeling dry and, just things are tough, your brothers and sisters around you, your leaders, your shepherds will care for you and will stand with you. But equally, actually, when you've got people who they're going through those tough times, you can be that for them as well and keep on pointing them to Jesus. And, how can you point people to Jesus, actually, if you are not doing that yourself? If you are not sitting at his feet and feasting on his word and asking the Holy Spirit, shape me and mold me and turn me more into your likeness, Jesus. These are the things actually that we just need to pursue year after year and decade after decade.
I think something that is really important for me is application of the stuff that we've learned. And so I have this little phrase that I feel like the Lord's been working with me about, and that is having a sharp sword but knowing how to use it. And so as leaders, I think that's a really important thing, is that we don't just build up a head knowledge, but Jesus taught us to go and make disciples, and he sent out the 72 and he sent people out. And I think the balance between educating and learning and growing our theology and all those kind of things are of vital importance, but equally it's the application, because the world is the one that's in need in many ways. And so my encouragement will always be, take what you know and apply it. Don't just sit still and grow, but take what you have and apply it.
So I think the question started with maybe something that's challenging and how you find joy and pursue Jesus in that. And as somebody who has moved around the world several times, there is difficulty in that. And it makes it difficult at an event like this when you come up on stage and the person next to you just says casually, "Where are you from?" And you're like, "Oh, you meant that as a simple question, but I don't actually know the answer." But at the same time, that that pushes you deeper into Jesus and into the eternal perspective of seeing heaven as your home and what that really looks like, just to have that bigger perspective than just maybe one place. Just being able to push in to Jesus more, to understand some of those things that are maybe beyond a small perspective.
Yeah, for me, I think, everyone's story is different. Everyone's kind of journey is different. And for me, one of the shaping prophetic words that I received really early on was, you're going to be broken and built up, broken and built up. And I was like, oh, thanks. But reflecting, I think that's definitely been a way it's gone for me and my family. And I think there's been times when we've been flying, and then times when it's kind of all gone, and you've just kind of gone back to zero and started with nothing again. And we've probably had that 3 or 4 times. And I think knowing that God said that to me right at the beginning when I first got saved gives me a confidence, you know, when everything's kind of spinning and you're just like, where am I, what am I doing? You've got this confidence of God knew, and he told me early on that it was going to be like this. And so that, I think it's so important to kind of get hold of God for those kind of words in your life, whether it's from the scripture or something that God said to you or prophetic word, that are going to help give you a sense of where it's going to go and something to keep coming back to over time.
Wonderful. It's so helpful, isn't it? You just kind of throw something out there like a simple question. You get lots of different bits of wisdom. I'm going to come to some of your Slido questions, and we'll come back maybe to some of my other questions in a minute. I'll knock off a few on the head straight away. I'll get my shirts from Next. Thanks for the 31 people that wanted to know. but here's one for the panel then. So I'm going to tick that one off. How do you know if someone is the right person to get into a relationship with, and how do you know if they're part of God's plan for you? And so not everyone has to answer it, but if maybe one or two wanted to have a go, here you go. Go on, Rosie.
So I think actually God was incredibly gracious to me because the person that I married was the person who invited me to church for the first time. And I know that he really loved God. And one of the reasons, sorry, I'm going to get emotional because it chokes me up actually this, because of his passion, Nigel, his passion for God. When we were first getting to know each other, you know, he'd been a Christian for a number of years, and as I say, I wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he invited me to church. And he said to me, actually, he said, look, I really like you, and I would love to go out with you, but I can't for two reasons. One, because you're actually going out with somebody else. And the other reason was because I wasn't a Christian. And he told me that he had wept before God because he knew God was saying no. And that spoke to me incredibly powerfully, that here was a man who, and you know, and he also told me he hoped that he would marry his first girlfriend. And here was a man who was putting God first. And that spoke to me volumes, because I thought, who is this God? That this young man, who I really like as well, but I'm not going to go there, would say this. And it really intrigued me. And anyway, long story short, I became a Christian, you know, God took my life in a different direction. And the reason I knew that I could trust Nigel is because he put God first before anybody else, including relationships. And that to me was a man that I knew I could be alongside for the rest of my life.
I don't know if I'm allowed to answer these, but I'm gonna, because I've got the microphone. I think that's brilliant, really helpful answer. I would also say, so as well as them loving God, if you're attracted to them, I think that helps. And also I'd say, like, our world tells us that there's the one, there's the perfect one out there. And sometimes people can bounce from relationship to relationship to relationship, and because they're waiting for the one. No one is perfect, not even one. And so there's a little bit of like, just pick one and then commit to them.
Excuse me?
But I'm not, like, commit to them, forsake all others, and love them for the rest of your life. Like, it's not, we overcomplicate it so much, and yet all around the world, for thousands of years, people have, men and women have left their mother and father and been united with someone in holy matrimony. And in some places, that happens because their mum and dad choose a wife for them, and they've never met them before. And in some places, the person proposes to them on the first day, like my dad did to my mum, and they hardly know each other. And in some places, you date for several years. And all I'd say is, like, however you get together, if they love God and they love you, and, you know, you get along, you've got a good relationship, it helps if they get along with your parents as well, just some practical things. If they get along with your mum and dad, and your mum and dad approve, I think that does help. Then get on with it. Commit and stop faffing about.
So I would answer the question three ways. Fancy, peace, and ask. Okay, first one is, do you fancy them? That's okay. Go for the person that you fancy. Secondly, peace, whether it's in a relationship or any other big decision that you're going to make. I love it when Paul says in Colossians, let the peace of Christ be your judge. Or another translation says, let the peace of Christ be your umpire. Or let the peace of Christ lead you. So look for the peace of Christ in the relationship. If you haven't got peace in Jesus about it, But if you have the peace of Christ in it, then go with the fact you fancy them and go with the fact you have the peace of Christ. And then lastly is ask. Ask someone you trust in God about the relationship. So when I fancied Beverly, and when I was feeling the peace of God about Beverly, I asked someone in the church. In fact, I asked the pastor. I said, what do you think? What do you think about me and Bev? And he said, yeah, I think that's good. I think you should go for it. That just really helped me. That really helped me. So I thought, oh, well, it's not just me. Someone else who knows her well says, is giving me encouragement. So who do you fancy? Go with the peace of Christ and ask someone else.
Amazing. I'm going to move on, if that's okay, to a different question, which is going to go into a very different tone. So this is, how do you isolate and identify God's voice in your life? And we talked a lot earlier about, like, you know, the world's quite busy. We get bombarded with lots of messages. So how in all of that do you know when it's God's voice, and how do you isolate that and identify it?
I think one of the primary things that we have as God's voice to us is his word. So being able to spend time in his word, not just reading it through, but studying it and picking a verse and meditating on it and really asking God, open my eyes and teach me what you would have for me in this verse today. So definitely start and end with his word. And then you also have, you know, mentors and people in your life, like we were hearing about and thinking about relationships that you can go to and people that can help you look at your life and help you think about, is this maybe something that's from the Lord, or is this something that's more that I'm trying to do on my own? So we have lots of resources in the church to help us discern God's voice.
For me, I'd say the starting point is to set your heart to be obedient, because whatever he's, even if you get it wrong, there's power in obedience and, in a sense, trying. And so you might want to potentially look to learn to hear his voice and walk that journey of failing and succeeding on slightly smaller things, like perhaps picking your wife. But in general, there is something about learning and practicing that can't be avoided. And I've always found that that when I hear his voice and it's difficult to discern whether it is him or not, if I position my heart to be obedient to it, irrelevant of whether I am wrong or not, that often helps me bring clarity in it, because that's what God's really after. He's after our obedience and our yes to when he speaks. That's the purpose of him speaking, is will you be obedient to what I say? And so I think if you spend time, you know, and doing all those practical things, looking, you know, God's not going to tell you to do anything that's, you know, not in the Bible or against what the Bible says, but set in your heart, Lord, I want to be obedient to your voice. I think that's a good starting place.
Wonderful. I'm going to stick on this theme because you might you might jump into that, because there's millions of questions. We're never going to get through all these. So I'm like, wow, I thought there was going to be two or three, and there's like loads. But just on this theme of hearing God's voice, there's a couple of questions. So I'll throw that in, and then you can answer either of them. So how can I tell if it's God talking to me or just my own mind? Like if I'm just had too much cheese. How do you confirm God's voice in your life? Like, are there clear ways to know when it is him or when it isn't him? So did you catch those two? Yeah. Okay. So
I'm glad that you mentioned about the cheese, because I had exactly that question when I believed I had a prophetic word from God. And so for me, I believe that I hear God through the prophetic. I used to work as a copywriter, so often I get phrases. That's how it comes to me. But God gives us his word. He gives us wisdom as well. And we can ask God for wisdom. And so with this particular phrase, hear and do, I didn't know what to do with it. And actually driving down this morning, a couple of students from our church, we were discussing this. And I was telling them how I sat on that word for about a year. And I prayed into it, and I spent some time fasting as well, because I thought, Lord, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. And then I went to a youth conference, and I heard somebody speaking about going into massage parlors and brothels. And something absolutely ignited in me, and I knew, I thought, that's something that I have to find out more about. And it was like God had impressed upon me, this is what you are to hear and do in Bristol. And then it was really interesting, because everywhere I looked for the next few months, I just kept on reading about people in massage parlors. It's like I couldn't get away from it, and God was breaking my heart. So I remember being on a family holiday, sitting on a beach in Cornwall, crying my eyes out, or sitting in a coffee shop, crying my eyes out, thinking about these women, thinking, Lord, do they know that you love them? Who's going to them? And then I brought it to, my husband, shared it with him, because he has a real gift of wisdom. And then I brought it to leaders in my church to ask them to help me discern it. And they were like, yeah, Rosa, we think you've got something there. And that's actually how Beloved was born.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if God made you, so he's the creator and you're the creature created, I think when God speaks, and it's really him, it speaks to something very deep in who you are. So beyond just your mind or your emotions or like something that you need to do, I think what Rosie's articulating is, you know, the voice of God will resonate right in your deepest place, and you just know. And the times when I've most known that God was speaking to me, I might not even be able to put my finger on exactly what it was, but I just know. And and often it's been for something that I didn't want to do. I always feel like God's spoken most clearly and deeply to me for something that I really didn't want to do. But it comes with just such a sense of rightness and such a sense of faith and such a sense of confidence. And so I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for... you know, it could be a prophetic word or something from the Bible or something that someone shares with you or something that you just feel or some conversations. But I think if it filters past just your brain and past just your emotions and past just what do I need to do, and it gets like stuck really deep inside you, I think that's a sign that it's from God too.
If you want to know more about this question and the answer to this question, come to John's seminar and he will cover it in full.
Thank you, John. this is the last thing on this bit. When me and Catherine, we got given the call of God to leave Chichester, to take our kids out of school there and to move to Guildford to lead a church there. And this deep thing that Andy was talking about, I was in a meeting and I just really felt God speaking that to us, to me. But I went home and Catherine was like, well, if you think that I'm going to move my whole family because you got a few sweaty armpits and, you know, then...
It is true. That's exactly the words
that I said. That's what she said. Then, you know, we need... And so that week I happened to be on Alpha and they talk about how do I know God speaking to me? And they talk about the five CSs. And so we then just started, okay, God, can you speak to us through these? And that is commanding scripture. And over that season, we got given the same Bible verse on three different occasions by three different people who didn't know each other. Compelling spirit, I think, which is like the Holy Spirit. And we already felt that and we were starting to feel that. The Council of the Saints, which we've been talking about. Other people, what do other people say? Common sense, like doesn't make kind of like, does you can think about it. God gave us a brain. Does this kind of make sense? Would it work for your family and all those kind of things? And then circumstantial signs. So like sometimes just random stuff happens and like it wasn't on your radar and then something happens. You're like, oh.
So for us, our random sign was we went to a prayer meeting and really hoped that God would like, you know, really confirm this. And we had nothing that whole kind of, you know, big prayer worship night. All these church leaders that persuaded you to go to these church meetings and you don't feel like you've heard from God. But anyway, we were driving home from that evening and there was just this road sign that said Guildford and an arrow pointing that way. We must have driven past that like piece of road like for about 8 or 9 years and never noticed that it said Guildford this way. But for whatever reason on the way home, like that night, and that was our kind of circumstantial kind of evidence of like actually maybe God is speaking and saying something.
So, yeah, go to John and Mark's seminar on hearing God's voice. How do you hear God's voice? They're really going to go in that deeply. So here's a stage of life type question. And so have you got any advice for what they've termed in-betweeners? So people that have finished university but haven't got the kids, you know, because often church can be about students and families, young families, and they kind of feel in between, this person does. So a kind of post-student but pre-baby. Finding their place in church, and sometimes they don't feel valued like some of the other groups. Do you have any advice for someone who's like feeling a bit isolated and in church life? Yeah.
Yeah. So I am single, perpetually single. I'm 38, and it gets harder. The older you get, and you're still single, and you do feel it often. In the church, I would commend everybody here that that's something the church can work on in valuing those in your congregation who are single and really understanding what it looks like for the church to be family. So as you're in that in-between time, you know, the goal is not necessarily to be married and have family and kids. You know, the goal is to follow Christ. You know, and so you're not promised the marriage and family. So how do you pursue Christ in your singleness? And how do you see your church as family? Because in scripture, we see that there's something better than sons and daughters and mothers and fathers. But we are all God's children, equal in standing and value. And so being able to live in light of that theology and live with your church as family.
As a culture and as a nation, demographically, we've just hit a really, really important and critical tipping point in the UK. And that tipping point is that now for the first time in UK history, just over 50% of the population live alone. That has never happened before, and we're at that point now here in the UK. So that has big implications for society, for the culture in which we live, and big implications too for the church and how we view biological family and how we view singleness as well. And part of that challenge is that that will increasingly be reflected in the life of the church as well. So it's just important that we're really aware of that and we include singles very positively, proactively, engaging with them, drawing them in, and releasing them into ministry, whatever that ministry is. So I think you're probably right. I think we've still got a lot to learn and just kind of get better at that in our kind of churches. But it's really important that we address this, all of us. And you can play your part in that as those of you who are single. So I have a couple of people who speak to me and tell me if I'm talking about kind of families too often or talking about being married too often. So they will say things to me like, Mark, remember? And I'm like, oh, yes, of course. Yes, thank you for reminding me.
Go on, Nick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, perhaps from a purely practical point of view, is to invest. I guess as a simple example, when you arrive at church without children, you have the opportunity to worship without worrying where your child is running off to. You can go out until late at night because you don't have to find a babysitter, whatever it is. And so there's an opportunity to invest both in yourself but also in those around you, in those sort of quote-unquote below you in terms of age and stage or whatever it is. Because even if you are in an age and a stage where those around you have moved on to marriage, kids, or whatever it is, you still have so much wisdom to offer to the generations that come behind you. And so I think healthy church is one that always has someone sort of below you and someone above you, someone that is speaking into your life, but someone that you're speaking into as well. And so it's an opportunity and an incredible season to invest in those times, whether you are single or whether you're newly married or whatever it is. I would say invest as much as you can.
So, linked to all this, so we want to encourage people who are single to be securely single and to step into all that God's called them to anyway. We want churches and us, that's us, isn't it, to be welcoming to all different people from all stages. So it's kind of linked, but it's a separate question on here that's quite high, is, okay, I get all of that, but I am single, but I want to be married. Okay, so I want to, like Steve was talking about earlier, I have a passion to be in a relationship, maybe to one day have kids. I want to be married. So the question is, what advice can you give? It says to a single Christian man, but let's say to men and women who are single, who don't want to stay single. Like, do you have any advice for that?
If you're a single man and you haven't gotten married yet, I'd suggest you shower. I mean, fancy is one of the things that we spoke about, isn't it? So if no one fancies you, maybe it's you. I don't know. No, sorry, that's not going to bless people. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean to say that. I apologize. I was one of the last people in my friendship group to get married. And that was difficult to me because I had that passion. I think I would argue more than a lot of my friends who just happen to find girlfriends, get married, etc. I really passionately desired to be married and to be a young dad, and it never happened. But I tried to determine in that time to invest in myself and in those around me, and to I think it comes back to what I said right in the beginning, to just being obedient to what God's calling you to do. It's got to be in His hands. We've got to live surrendered to His will, irrelevant of what it looks like. And we will live in this culture and we will be influenced by and demanded by the culture that we're in. However, that's culture, that's not necessarily Bible, that's not necessarily what the Spirit's calling us to do. And so I think we have to sometimes just remove ourselves from the culture and from the position we're in and just simply say, Lord, I want to be obedient to you, irrelevant of the cost. And I think a lot of people here will probably say that the things that they desired came, and not always, but a lot of times, the things that they desired came once they had surrendered it completely to the Lord. And so my encouragement to you would be, just invest in Him and find yourself being obedient to Him and learning His voice.
I'll tell you where all the single women are who are passionate about Jesus. If you want to be in a space, guys, where you're in a minority and it's all the hot girls and they're all running hard after Jesus, that's the cross-cultural mission space. It always has been. So nearly all of our church planting teams are married couples and single women. And there's hardly any single guys in those spaces. So you want to find a girl, like...
I think he's trying to encourage you to go to his seminar there. So we're just going to change kind of tack. So this is kind of going on to like evangelism. So how do we kind of maybe communicate or share Jesus with friends that seem completely uninterested in Jesus and it's not on their kind of top priority? Or maybe when you start mentioning church and Jesus, they kind of switch off from the conversation and don't want to listen anymore. What advice or how can we continue to step out in our evangelism in those kind of circles?
I think actually I would listen really closely to what they're saying and ask questions. Jesus did that a lot. Paul did it. So just be really curious about them and find out what's on their heart, what are their longings. And then also think about what are the common points. Sometimes we have young people who come and live with us because we do supported lodgings, and some of those are Muslim young people. And so something that I've been particularly learning and was reminded again actually by Andy the other week is, you know, just think of the commonalities. Think about, you know, maybe you can have chats about Moses or Abraham. You know, some of my best points of connections have been when I've been sat outside in our garden and we've been staring up at the stars and then thinking about Abraham. And so find your common connections and ask them, what are the longings in their hearts?
I think that's so good, Rosie. I think one of the things that people are looking for is like a faithful friend, so someone that's not going to cancel them, that's going to kind of disagree with them but still be their friend, be available to them when their mental health hits a low or when they're in a bad place. And I think everyone's trying to get kind of bigger circles, so, you know, loads more friends on social media, I know loads of people, right? But actually, you can't be a faithful friend to huge numbers of people. But if you can be there for people kind of consistently and faithfully, even if it's a small circle of people, then when they hit that moment, and they will, people without Jesus will hit stuff in their life. When they hit that stuff, if you're someone that they trust, that they appreciate, that they respect, then they'll come to you. So I think the whole thing of, and if we're trying to show people what Jesus is like, Jesus is a faithful friend, and so if we can be that, then we can show them what he's like.
I just think, I started my job when we moved to Guildford, and I had a new boss, and she knew I was a Christian, and her first lines were, "I don't like Christians, I think you're all stuck up, and I'm just going to continue to swear in this office." So that was her first lines to me. I was like, great. So I remember good start. So I remember just kind of like praying on my way into work, on my commute, and I didn't really mention church. I just thought, I'm going to leave it off the table, and I just was always really like, well, she describes me as really kind. But anyway, it's kind of led over a period of time that then like a crisis did then hit in her life. And so then she wanted, like, she was going through a really difficult time. Her daughter, who was older, was like really ill at university, etc. So in the office, I was like, do you want me to pray for you? Like, that's the first time I've mentioned church or kind of Jesus at all. And she went, yeah, all right. So we prayed together in the office. And she's not a Christian yet, but as sort of we've spent more and more time together, her husband's also very anti-Christian, doesn't like hanging out with Christians. And last summer, we got invited to his birthday party where they were like, oh, yeah, we've got loads of friends coming around. So we like didn't think anything of it. When we turned up, it was actually only close family that were there, and we were the only kind of friends there. And then recently they've just come to our house for dinner, which again would be a big no-no. As I say, they're not Christians yet, but I think just being kind and praying for opportunities actually speaks more volumes about who Jesus is. Still being honest that you're a Christian and still having it there, but not always that being the first thing that you're bringing to people. Sometimes it's a long journey that people need to be on to kind of know Jesus. So just a bit of an encouragement if you're in that situation, because I know what it's like.
Yeah, I was going to say, demonstrate him. It's what we've all just saying. You will struggle to argue people into the kingdom. But if you demonstrate him through his heart, people will be drawn to that. People are drawn to him all the time because of who he was. And so if you demonstrate him, people will be drawn.
So we're just going to go for about 5 more minutes, and but I want to honour those who put questions in, and I'm just going to I'm not going to ask you these questions. I will ask you some more, but these particular questions that are going to come up, I'm going to tell you where to go to get the answer. Okay, so how do I know whether my passions are from God or my own desires? How do I know the path that God's got for me? Go to Hearing God's Voice with John and Mark. If you want to know what's for dinner, just hold on. What is for dinner? I don't know. It'll be something yummy. Yeah, so how can I be still before God? All those kind of questions. How do I work out what God's calling for my life is and his end goal for me? All those kind of things go to John and Mark's seminar. So here is how can I be certain of God's purpose for my life? Those kind of things go to that.
There's quite a few on there about like reaching like different people groups and like sort of how to kind of do that. So one's talking about kind of how do you, if we're in very middle class churches, how do you reach out to other cultures, or how do we reach out to other people in our communities? So if we're looking in terms of how to reach out to other cultures or maybe overseas mission, then Andy's seminar will be a great one. And then yes. Rosie's also going to be talking about how we can do mission where we are and reach different people from there. So that's another good seminar. And then one about kind of maybe there's some of the questions on there about identity and how do we sort of like look through that, and I'd say to go to Sarah's for that one, just in case we don't get through all the questions.
Yeah, especially like the kind of how can I live a Christian as being the same sex attracted and trying to pursue Jesus but not find opposite sex attractive. Go and chat with Sarah and go to her seminar. So here's a question about kind of mental health and anxiety. So there's a few that have come up about that. Do you have any advice for kind of being still before God, even though I'm an overthinker and I find it hard to kind of focus on God? There's that, and there's also when I like suffer with anxiety and people tell me, well, we'll just pray about it, or when my mental health is going bad, I'm going through a depression, it's like, well, just pray about it. Do you have any other advice other than prayer? Obviously prayer is good. Do you have any other advice other than prayer for helping us that are struggling perhaps to pursue God, pursue Jesus?
So I would say a number of things before I hand over to my friends. Firstly, you are in good company if you are struggling with your mental health, especially coming out of COVID. Most of us in this room have struggled with our mental health in the last few years. So you are not alone. You're not alone here in this room. You're also not alone biblically. When we look through the Bible, one of the great things about the Bible, it hits mental health full on in the face. So we could talk about Job, we could talk about David. When you read the Psalms, the number of times it says depression, anxiety, anguish, sadness, all those things are in the Bible to help us and to encourage us that you are not alone. And so please be encouraged even by that. And also, as Rosie said earlier, be honest with a friend about it. Find a good friend who you can be honest with and share your struggle with. And you know what? They're not going to be surprised. And the likelihood is they will have suffered the same kind of anguish or sadness or depression or bleak times as well. And also, just a very practical thing is, it is okay to seek professional help as well. It is okay to have counselling. I've got my level 2 certificate in counselling because I believe in it. It's a really good thing to have. And it's okay to go and see your GP as well. If you're struggling with mental health, you're struggling with acute anxiety, or depression, it really is okay to go and talk to your GP about it, who might be able to prescribe something to help.
Really, really good. So I would say, actually, for those who are grappling with it, one of the things that I find is that it can be very isolating, and people can feel real stigma and real shame with it, and shame does not belong over you if this is what you are struggling with. sometimes it's just part of the human condition, and we are human beings. I suffered with anxiety for a long time, actually over a very specific thing. I became very frightened of driving. It's really, really weird. For about a period of about 10 years, I almost didn't drive, or just a handful of times. And the strange thing is, it actually crept up on me really, really quietly. You know, sometimes it'd be, oh, you know, I just won't drive here, or I won't drive there, I can get the train, to the point where actually I became very, very anxious about driving. I wish I'd spoken to somebody about it much sooner. So if there are things that you are struggling with, just ask for help. You know, asking for help, it's one of the bravest things that you can do, and I've nicked that from Charlie Mackesy. It's not my own thought, but it really is a very brave thing to do. So just ask for help.
So I've also struggled with depression and anxiety at different times in my life, and have seen different counselors in different seasons, and would also just encourage some persistence in that. Some of the counselors that I've worked with have not been bad, but haven't been particularly helpful. And then there have been other moments that God has really worked in and through the counseling that I've had. And I've seen God do some amazing things in my life and heart through seeking that help.
So we've had lots of different questions. We've quite a range there, haven't there? From relationships to evangelism to singleness to health, mental well-being. What we're going to do now is, in a moment, Catherine's going to pray. Just before she does, though, we'll just go down the line. Can you just tell us what your seminar is about? And just let you know, Luke is going to be with us the rest of the day. And later on, after Guy and Heather come and speak to us this evening, he's going to be around just helping to kind of facilitate all that the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. So you'll see Luke again. So thank you so much, Luke, for being with us. So tell us about your seminar, what it's about, and we'll tell you on the screens. It'll be where each seminar is.
All right, my seminar is titled Counting the Cost, and we're going to look at what it looks like to follow Christ in many different areas of our life, and that it's always worth it to follow him no matter what he asks of us.
So I'm going to be sharing about having a sense of call to reach other nations with the gospel, and just going to be looking a little bit about that. And in it, there'll be kind of how does God speak to us about those things, and what do we do about it in terms of our journey, and why is it important, and why should all of you leave England and go and live in other places and tell people about Jesus?
So my session is called Love into Action, and so it's particularly if you're interested in social action and thinking, okay, well, what might it look like in my local community? How can I get involved? So I'm going to be talking about that, and also particularly working also with people on low incomes and those who are feeling kind of quite on the margins. And finally, I'm going to talk about how do you sustain in that, because it is long, arduous work. So how does God sustain us as we love the poor in our communities?
And John and I, as you know, so we're looking at the prophetic. So John will go through some principles of hearing from God, and then we're going to do some. So it'll be kind of part seminar and part practical in terms of actually hearing God.
Amazing. I'm just going to pray for us, and then what we'll do is we'll kind of break for like tea and coffee, and then we'll have a chance for you to have a look and decide which seminar you're going to go to. So I'm just going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much that you've been with us so far today. I thank you, Lord God, that we're really getting into the nuts and bolts of what it means to be all in for you. I thank you for the panel, Lord God, and their kind of honesty and their kind of wisdom that they've given to us. Pray for each of us that's in this room, Lord God, and for the kind of maybe the answers or the kind of questions that we have of you, Lord God. I pray that today will be a start of that journey for all of us, Lord God, and I pray that you will be with us, that you will equip us, that you will strengthen us. us, that you'll bring healing where it's needed, Lord Jesus, and that we will leave here, Lord God, with a greater sense of your presence in our lives, Lord God, and all that you have called for us. And so, Lord God, I pray as we have tea and coffee now, Lord God, that you will keep our hearts ready to hear from you. In your name, amen.